Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines of Sunday, December the 3rd, Pope Francis expresses his pain over the breakdown of the truce in Gaza, saying it will mean death, destruction and misery. The COP28 climate conference in Dubai opens a new faith pavilion, the first of its kind at a UN climate conference. And Vatican Radio visits Bethlehem and speaks to the priest celebrating Mass for the first day of Advent. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. It pains me that the truce has been broken. This means death, destruction, misery. Those were Pope Francis's words on the end of the Israel-Hamas ceasefire agreement, which broke down on Friday. The Pope was speaking after his weekly recitation of the Angelus prayer in the Vatican, appearing via video link. As he is recovering from an inflammation of the lungs, the Pope's reflections were read aloud by Monsignor Paolo Braida, an official of the Vatican Secretariat of State, while the Pope sat beside him. Many hostages have been freed, the Pope continued, but many are still in Gaza. We think of them, of their families, who had seen a light, a hope that they might embrace their loved ones once again. The Pope added that there is so much suffering in Gaza, there is a lack of basic necessities. I hope, he said, that all of those involved can reach a new ceasefire agreement as soon as possible and find solutions other than weapons, trying to take courageous paths to peace. Pope Francis has repeatedly called for the release of all hostages in Gaza and for an immediate end to the hostilities there. On Wednesday, the 22nd of November, he met with a group of Palestinians with relatives in Gaza and with individuals whose family members are being held hostage by Hamas. Nathan Morley has this report on the situation on the ground.
The Israeli army has told residents in the southern town of Khan Yunis to leave immediately. However, those in the town, including thousands who have fled from the north, say it's impossible to follow those orders in good time due to a lack of phone access and electricity. A senior advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister, Mark Regev, said Israel was doing all it could to keep civilians safe.
There are specific areas inside Khan Yunis where we've notified that in those specific areas there is expected to be combat, and we're urging people to leave so they're not caught up in the crossfire. And we've designated specific safer areas for people to move to. The whole idea is to save lives. That's the point of requesting people to leave.
Over the last 48 hours, Israeli warplanes have been conducting extensive airstrikes throughout the Gaza Strip. Speaking on the issue, the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has reiterated Israel's right to defend itself, but stressed it had a moral responsibility to protect civilians.
You see, in this kind of a fight, the center of gravity is the civilian population. And if you drive them into the arms of the enemy, you replace a tactical victory with a strategic defeat. So I have repeatedly made clear to Israel's leaders that protecting Palestinian civilians in Gaza is both a moral responsibility and a strategic imperative.
Elsewhere, the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris says too many Palestinians have already been killed with a devastating amount of human suffering. Meanwhile, Hamas officials say more than 15,000 Palestinians have been killed since the war began nearly 8 weeks ago. The Hamas attack on Israel on the 7th of October killed 1,200 people, with around 240 taken hostage. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Following his weekly recitation of the Angelus prayer, Pope Francis also prayed for the victims of a bomb attack on a Catholic mass in the Philippines. 4 people died and at least 40 were wounded in an attack on a gymnasium in the Mindanao State University where mass was being celebrated. I would like to assure you of my prayers for the victims of the attack in the Philippines this morning, where a bomb exploded during mass, Pope Francis said. He added that I am close to the families, to the people of Mindanao who have already suffered so much. In a telegram sent some hours later, Pope Francis said that he was deeply saddened to be informed of the injuries and loss of life due to the bombing. The attack occurred in Marawi, the largest Muslim city in the Philippines. It was besieged for 5 months in 2017 by pro-Islamic State militants. The commander of police in the region said that Sunday's attack could be revenge for a recent government operation which killed 11 members of an Islamist terror organisation. I condemn it in the strongest possible terms. This is a senseless and most heinous act perpetrated by foreign terrorists, said the president of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Extremists who wield violence against the innocent will always be regarded as enemies of our society. Now, speaking at his Andalus address this morning, Pope Francis also appealed to world leaders gathering for the COP28 climate conference in Dubai. Although from a distance, he said, "I follow the work of the COP28 in Dubai with great attention." Sunday morning at COP28 began with the inauguration of the Faith Pavilion, the first of its kind. The pavilion aims to serve as a platform for dialogue between religions and cultures, as well as to highlight the crucial role of religious perspectives and values in addressing the climate crisis. To mark the occasion, Pope Francis, who was unable to attend due to health reasons, sent a video message emphasising the need for inclusive alliances for global well-being. Francesca Merlo reports.
At the heart of Pope Francis's video message to Dubai for the inauguration of the COP28 Faith Pavilion is the idea of creating alliances for the common good. The Pope's message, broadcast on Sunday morning during the event, was entrusted to the Vatican Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, as Pope Francis was unable to attend as planned as a precautionary measure while he recovers from pulmonary inflammation. In his video message, the Holy Father expressed his regret for not being present at COP28 and emphasized the inauguration of the Faith Pavilion, as this is the first time that a religious pavilion has been set up within a UN climate change conference. This pavilion, said the Pope, attests to the willingness to work together. Today, the world needs alliances that are not against anyone, but in favor of all, he said. It is urgent that religions, without falling into the trap of syncretism, give a good example, working together not for one's own interests or those of one party, but for the interests of our world. He added that the most important topics currently are peace and the climate. Pope Francis thus invited all religious representatives to be an example and show that change is possible by bearing witness to sustainable and respectful lifestyles. Let us earnestly urge the leaders of nations to preserve our common home, he said, adding, especially hearing the cries of the poor and the weakest among us, whose prayers reach the throne of the Most High. In conclusion, the Pope invited everyone to safeguard creation and protect our common home, always seeking to live in peace. As part of the inauguration of the Faith Pavilion, Pope Francis also signed a unified faith declaration, joining religious leaders and representatives from a host of faiths. The declaration seeks to harness the collective influence of faith communities and religious institutions to inspire climate justice globally. I am Francesca Merlo.
There are many faith-based organisations and religious leaders at the COP28. One of them is SIDSI, a Catholic social justice network. Its Secretary General Josiane Gauthier spoke to Vatican Radio.
At this particular COP, we've zeroed in on a few collective priorities. We're very much following and have been fighting for a loss and damage fund. So we're very eager to see that continue to evolve and strengthen. We're monitoring the global stock take, of course, because that's a really important way to check in on where we are on the implementation and the work packages. And this will give us really an impulse for the future, for the next steps, the next priorities. We're also working on agriculture, sustainable and just agriculture. Because the food systems are really part of the problem, and also it's a high impact area for ecological justice, and it's also people who are very impacted themselves by climate change. And then, of course, fossil fuel phase out. Most civil society actually have agreed that that is the main thing to put ourselves behind at this COP.
Are you optimistic for this COP?
I think that what will be good out of this COP is if indeed the voices of communities in the global south are heard. We have a loss and damage fund. This is a huge win for civil society and organizations such as ours who've been fighting for a while. Now we need to really make sure that it gets funded, that it's fair, that it's accessible, that the governance, we get that right. So we're going to be watching it very closely and really encourage countries to support this into a real mechanism of repair. But we also have to get out of the fossil fuels. So if we can get some kind of statement that we're moving in that direction, we will be encouraged.
Another of the Catholic organisations attending COP28 is Caritas Internationalis. Its Secretary General, Alistair Dutton, spoke to Vatican Radio about the Pope's role in climate advocacy.
He has spoken vociferously on the issue many, many times. The obvious time to note is in Laudato Si. But he has been very clear in the messages he's sent to world leaders. I think if you want a clue as to what he say, I would say Laudato Deum, in its 9 or 10 pages, expresses quite firmly what he feels at the moment. His frustration, as I said earlier, his frustration at the lack of action is palpable. And I think he is really going to be telling world leaders that we have to act now, for the good of humanity, for the good of the planet, the care for current and future generations, we can't keep kicking the can down the road. I think he'll be unequivocal. But in addition to his commitment to climate justice, is his commitment to interfaith relationships. And I think and hope that he will really galvanise faith, different faiths, to come together and make clear that people of all faiths are concerned about this and understand the urgency of it. And the vast majority of people in the world are people of faith. We lose sight of that, I think, in the global West. But most people are people of faith, and they understand the responsibility and the need to do something about it. So I think he'll not only have a very clear message about climate justice per se, I think his role and the role of faith groups in underlining the global groundswell of opinion will be significant in helping move the dial to whatever degree it is moved.
We heard earlier about Pope Francis' concern for the ongoing conflict in the Holy Land. Vatican Media is in Bethlehem, where the local church has just celebrated Mass for the first Sunday of Advent. We spoke to Father Jean-Luc Gregory of the Franciscan Custody of the Holy Land, who said that although the Advent celebrations are very much reduced, he was, quote, very happy to be able to give support to these people in the Palestinian territories. And he said also that he thinks Christmas celebrations will be very much reduced, but still joyful. In his catechesis for the first Sunday of Advent, meanwhile, in the Vatican, Pope Francis focused on the theme of vigilance. As Linda Bordoni reports, the Pope was reflecting on this Sunday's Gospel reading, in which Jesus exhorts us three times to keep watch.
Pope Francis noted that sometimes we think of the virtue of vigilance as an attitude motivated by the fear of imminent punishment. But he assured this is certainly not the meaning of Christian vigilance. The Pope's Angelus message was live-streamed to St. Peter's Square and to the world from his residence in the Vatican because he's recovering from a pulmonary inflammation, and the catechesis was read by Paolo Braida, an official at the Secretariat of State. Reflecting on the reading from the Gospel of Mark that calls for spiritual vigilance as we await the return of the Lord, the Pope said, "It is with affection-filled expectation that we also want to prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus at Christmas." So Pope Francis continued, "In the weeks leading up to this special day, let us carefully prepare the house of the heart so that it may be orderly and hospitable." Vigilance, he explained, means keeping the heart ready. The Holy Father then invited the faithful to plan to use Advent to share with their brothers and sisters in need, giving listening, time, and concrete help. Let us cultivate his expectation without being distracted by so many useless things and without complaining all the time, but keeping our hearts alert, that is, eager for him, awake and ready, impatient to meet him. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories as we move into the season of Advent, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va, where you can also get the latest update on the Pope's health condition. And as always, you can catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.